Welcome to the Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and in today's podcast, we're talking with the Reverend Dr. Rob Casper as we consider initial steps to God's people once again gathering in our sanctuaries across Michigan. Rob, along with Galen Walther and Randy Johnson, put together suggestions, and it'll be in a blog for churches about things to think about as we continue forward. And Rob, first of all, I guess, why don't you tell us what's in the blog and what isn't?
Well, what's in the blog is hopefully a way to frame our thought process as we engage with the with our planned return to gather together in God's house for worship as His gathered saints. And so it's not a detail, you know, do this, but it is a way of thinking so that each congregation in its unique context of ministry with its unique facilities can discern a way forward and make really good decisions. So it is a thought starter for teams at congregations to engage with coming back together.
And what it isn't is a blueprint, one size fits all, do this or things are not going to work out well, correct?
Right. I mean, there are some obvious things that are the CDC and our authorities, our government authorities have instructed us, you know, with social distancing and face masks and cleanliness and so on. Those things are kind of set for us, and we want to follow those because they're helpful to us. At the same time, how we engage as God's people in worship, that's going to be a variety of approaches given where you are in a region or given your physical situation, your physical plant, and the number of people that gather for worship.
And one of the things that you looked at and that helped you guys out a lot in creating this document was looking at Nehemiah, wasn't it?
Yes. You know, I wrote the initial draft of this, and I'm thinking, well, how am I going to get all of this information, all this thought process in a way that someone might actually look at it and read it? How can we frame it? And I recall, you know, a sermon series I did a number of years ago, and it had to do with Nehemiah. And taking the entire book of Nehemiah and his journey from being in exile, being a scattered people, never stopped being God's people, even though they were in exile in Babylon. They never stopped being God's people. That's true for us too. Even though we can't gather together in our sanctuaries, we're still God's people. We're His called out saints. But Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, the footstool of God, was their center of worship. And so coming together to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem was a significant milestone for these exiles as they came back under Nehemiah's leadership. And so I looked at that. I studied the book. I read through it again. I said, you know, there are eight things that really apply for us as we engage this process of coming back together into the house of the Lord.
Talk a little bit about some of those things that you have in there, getting permission from the king, forming teams in coalitions and things like that, right?
Right. Right. So very quickly, the eight items that are listed for us, he got permission from the king and received the rite of passage and provisions for the work. And so we need to be listening in on our government leaders and so on, giving us the green light to come together again, at least in some manner, shape, or form. So he also made a personal evaluation of the situation, the context, with a small group of advisors. So I think pastors and other leaders need to look at their physical plant, look at their community. How can we take a walk around the facility? How can we engage this process of coming back together in a safe way, following the guidelines of our government leaders? Thirdly, he divided up the work among several team leaders. As they rebuilt the wall, they had different sections that were under the leadership of different individuals, and each one had a team. Some of them were family teams. Some of them were not related to each other, but they were working together on a project, but he had teams. We need to build teams. This can't be the pastor thinking, okay, here's how we can do this. I really encourage pastors. This is a great time to gather, lay leaders together to discuss different aspects of our time together, like how are we going to do worship? How are we going to handle the finances? How are we going to handle the maintenance of the facility and keeping it clean? How are we going to communicate? Teams can work together on a common goal of coming back together. Even as Nehemiah had teams with a common goal of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, the center of God's people's worship. Fourthly, he engaged the many that were joining in the effort to stand strong against opposition. Now, when I talk about opposition, I'm just talking about, you know, you'll have some members or people even outside of your faith family who are pointing fingers, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, or you could have done this better, or there'll just be some grousing because things aren't the same as they used to be. We need to stand strong together, that we've worked on this together, and this is the best that we can do right now while we even continue to learn better ways of doing things. Fifthly, he directed ministry to meet the needs of those in the community who were suffering want. There's people in your congregation who are struggling. They may have lost their jobs or their means of income. They may be struggling in health-wise, or they may be struggling emotionally or spiritually because of isolation. You're going to hear about those things as you come back together even more. So how can we be responsive not only to our people who are members of our congregation, but how can the church be responsive to the needs of individuals and families and the whole community around the congregation? And then sixth, he kept track of people and accounted for them because people are really important to God. Nehemiah counted family units. He counted individuals. You know, people are important to God, and so we do count them. Pay close attention to who's in worship as you come back together, but also pay close attention to who's not there that you're missing. And take special effort to reach out to them and say, are you okay? How can we help? Are you still engaging with us online? How can we minister to you? Be sensitive to those who are not connecting physically. How can you connect to them spiritually and relationally? And then number seven, he arranged for God's word to be proclaimed that led to repentance and renewal and a celebration. That is described in this way: the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. I believe that as God's people gather together, we're going to celebrate. It's going to be a little Easter all the time. It's just going to be good to be together, even though we're experiencing social distancing in our sanctuaries and in our Bible classes, etc. It's going to be wonderful to see faces again and to be connected physically with one another in the sanctuary for worship. And our worship should, I want to encourage our worship to resound with the glory of God, the praise of God, that we get to come together again to hear the word, to receive the sacrament of the altar, and to encourage one another in our mutual faith through our songs and hymns. And then eighth, he instituted some lasting reforms. Let's just face it, as we go forward for the foreseeable future, some things are not going to go back the way they were. On the one hand, that can be really tough. Face masks, social distancing, other things that we need to be consistent with in the foreseeable future. But other things, thank God they don't go back the same way. We're going to remember we're still the people of God. Whether we've gathered together or not, we can still be connected with one another in other ways. The way we cared for one another when we were separated, let's not stop that. So those are the eight things that I see in Nehemiah that I think apply to how we think about coming back together.
You talk about notice renewed contacts with former inactive members. We see all over that, whether it was through Easter services online or those leading up to Easter and just past Easter, so many people are going online and joining with the different churches to check it out and to renew their faith. And I think this is a great opportunity, I'm sure you do too, to really connect with those people.
Yes. I mean, we're going to see some people that we hadn't seen for a while. You know, longtime members who have reconnected with us via our worship services online, and they're connecting with us. That's a great thing, and we want to encourage that. Pay special attention to that. Welcome them back. Think of of Jesus' stories in Luke chapter 15 of the lost coin and the lost son. You know, there's great celebration for anyone who returns to the Father. So returning back to our fellowship, those that have been away from us for some time, for whatever reason, welcome them back with open arms. Celebrate that. Also, those who've connected with us, maybe they weren't a member of any church. Maybe they've been disconnected from God, and they've come to faith in Christ through our online worship services or Bible classes. They've been connected by our members, or maybe they just found us by the Spirit's leading in some way. Man, celebrate them and serve them well as also. Let's be really open as we embrace the opportunity to meet new people and to share the message of the gospel, train them up as disciples, and release them also into ministry as we connect with them in our congregations.
You talk about some things that probably will have to wait, at least in the immediate future. Greeting each other with hugs, handshakes, a holy kiss, greeters at the door, opening up doors even. And you go even as far as talking about, think about the offering plate and common cup.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to be the last person of 150 people who handles the offering plate? I don't think so. But how could you receive the offering? Could it be a joyous celebration of people as they come forward to receive the sacrament? They place the offering in the offering plates that are set on pedestals up front. Or if you're not celebrating the Lord's Supper that day, maybe there's a time when as people are singing a hymn of celebration in response to the word of God, they bring the offering forward, and they one member from each family brings it forward and places it in the offering plate. It's a celebration. We're returning and giving thanks to God by bringing our thank offerings to the Lord to advance his kingdom through the ministry of that congregation.
One of the things that I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, is Bible study classes, small groups, things like that, that can continue on Zoom and have really flourished in this time. And I think there's no reason we can't continue that, right?
Absolutely. In particular, I recall when I was pastor of a congregation, you loved to have a packed room for your Bible class. You wanted that intimacy of people sitting shoulder to shoulder. You felt like, wow, a lot of people want to study the Word of God. Well, that's not going to be a thing for the foreseeable future. We're going to have our Bible classes in larger spaces where we can practice social distancing, and continue with our Bible classes on Zoom at different times of the day. Record them. Make them available. People can listen in on the conversation and the study of God's Word at another time. We've learned a lot. Let's not back up. Let's press into it and learn to continue to do this as more and more people gather around the Word electronically. Listening to, engaging live with a Zoom Bible study, or if you're recording it, then they can listen in on the conversation and the study of God's Word on their own at a separate time. All of these things can be provided for your people by providing a library of Bible studies that people can engage with.
At the end of the blog, you leave everybody with three specific questions that you want them to answer. Talk about kind of what led to these questions and why did you think these three were at least some of the most important questions to ask?
Yeah, I think the first question that we need to humbly come before God and in prayerful conversation with one another in the body of Christ. And again, each congregation is going to be unique. Each ministry is going to have its own context. We need to be very conscious of that and encourage creative thinking. But ask the question, what have we learned about ourselves and the Lord's ministry through us because of this pandemic? Have we learned that, you know, God's word is still powerful, even though we don't receive it while sitting in the sanctuary? Have we learned that we're still the body of Christ, even though we're separated from one another physically? Have we learned about caring for one another? Have we learned about caring for our community? What have we learned about what God has given us and also what he wants to accomplish through us, through this pandemic? What have we learned and what can we carry forward? And then number two, what new or renewed truths have surfaced? And what new skills for ministry have we developed? You know, I think we've expanded our flexibility. I think we've gained some spiritual muscle through this process. What truths about God, what truths about ourselves have surfaced? And what new skills for ministry have we developed? What online skills have we developed? What relational skills have we developed? What new methods of communicating the gospel have we developed through this process? And then thirdly, how might the Holy Spirit want to leverage our learning and our experience to expand his kingdom's reign through us, his people? How are we going to be a different kind of people coming out of this pandemic? How are we going to engage with our community and engage with our world and engage one another as the people of God with our varied experiences to advance the kingdom of God through the proclamation of the gospel, the sharing of our faith, the testimony of what God has done in us and through us and among us as his people because of this pandemic? How can we leverage all that learning and be a different, more excited, more aggressive, more mission-minded people of God going forward, that we remember, you know, it's not about the building. It's about people. It's not about, all the trappings of formal worship. It's about the message of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the why of what we do. And how we do it can be adjusted and changed and so on, but we never stop keeping track of the why, that it's all about Jesus. And how can we leverage that going forward to be a different kind of people framed by a new experience?
This is going to be such a difficult and different time for so many pastors. There's going to be a lot of negativity. There's going to be people questioning, you know, why is he doing this? Oh, he just shook hands with somebody. Or why is he wearing a mask? You know, it could be so many different opinions because there have been so many different experiences throughout this entire pandemic. And it's going to be very difficult for pastors. Don't you agree?
I think it's going to be difficult for pastors and lay leadership in the congregation as they work together to come back together. Because people's experiences have differed through this pandemic, there's going to be all kinds of questions. And any decision you make, if you take some sort of action, you'll be criticized. If you don't take an action, you'll be criticized. That's the journey of leadership. You kind of lean into that. And just accept that. But I think communication with your people, what you're going to do, why you're going to do it, communicate as much of that upfront as possible and continue to communicate, oh, okay, this week we're doing things a little bit different than we did last week for these two reasons. So people don't like changes already. They really don't like surprises. So communicate, and still always expressing grace. How can we express grace? Respond as opposed to react. As someone approaches you, they've got something that they're upset about. Listen in, listen well. What's behind that? Ask more questions. Respond as opposed to react and being defensive. How can we just be gracious with people and instruct them through our actions as leaders to be gracious also with other people and with us? Well, I'll tell you, just a closing thought, and that is this document is, some are going to be disappointed with it because it's not a step-by-step how-to, what you need to do and little check boxes. I think it's more important for us to frame the conversation, and that's what we've sought to do, is frame the conversation so that each congregation with its pastor and other leaders can really do the bullet point stuff that they need. We want them to think through this carefully. We want them to have ownership of this process. We want them to do the hard work of making application. At the same time, we want to offer them a frame of a way of thinking, not what to think, but how to think. And I think that just enables them to be more contextual in how they get at it. So I'm hoping that this document is beneficial in that way. And some will be disappointed, as I said, because it's not a step-by-step, but it is a way of thinking, not what to think.
And I think the key there too, though, is this is not a one-size-fits-all pandemic or crisis.
Well, we're going to be coming back, so I'm going to guess, county by county or region by region. I mean, what congregations are able to do some of the outlying counties up in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula or up in the UP is going to be very different than what congregations in the southeast section, like in Detroit and its environs, you know, Oakland County and Macomb County and Wayne County and Washtenaw County, Genesee County, you know, in the Flint area. It's going to be very different because of the compact nature of population. We're going to have a slower return than others will. So we need to be patient with one another, and we also need to engage contextually.
Oh, very well said. Rob, we thank you for your time and definitely appreciate all you do.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. It's good to be visiting with you.